Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Great sounds of music this afternoon, my family. 12 minutes after one, that is your time. Man, I love these conversations. Mighty big shout out to Ndate Andrew Gaigai for that incredible conversation. I see it's even triggering emotions. So you know what? When conversation is good, we absolutely must respond, and that's exactly what we are going to do. And 13 after 1 is our time. So we continue then with great conversation here on Heart to Heart, my family. And joining us this afternoon and at this time is Mr. Unathi Mdoninji. He is the author of Marriage, The Two Shall Become One. He's done a lot of work in this space and absolutely looking forward to some insights shared with us this afternoon, talking and specifically looking at the socialization of our boys and girls, of our children, and how that socialization affects, the decision making and the choice of a partner, specifically as we see it in premarital counseling. Unathi, good afternoon to you, sir, and thank you so much for giving us your time.
Good afternoon to you, and good afternoon to your listeners. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for giving us your time. Let's talk about the socialization of our children, especially as Christian parents. What structure, Unathi, should we consider around the socialization of our children?
Yeah, there's so many things to consider. But I think we must accept that the home and the home and the school are the two areas they spend most of their time.
Mm.
So I think it's important that there's a huge alignment, I think, in values and approach between the home and the school.
Mm.
Because I think that's where they are socialized a lot. So I think it's important for parents to participate in schools and ensure that the values that are instilled at school are similar to the values that are instilled at home. Because the more there's that alignment, I think the better it is to prepare them for whatever challenges they're going to not just challenges, but also opportunities they're going to face in the future. I think that's where the challenge is.
So,
also, I think what would help is if the other, material that they consume, especially from the media, is also aligned to the same values. In other words, regardless of where they go, they hear the same message. And I think that would entrench the values in them and prepare them better. I think the challenge that we have is they hear something different at home to what they hear at school and what they hear in the media. Yeah, and out there. And I think that's where there's a bit of a disjoint, and that creates a bit of a challenge for us.
Sure. And so structurally, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that where they spend most of the time, there must be alignment between that place and the value system at home, right? And in terms of perhaps the social element, we ought to watch over the content that they are exposed to in terms of media. Yeah.
Yes, they must. I mean, at home, we must check what they watch and what they get exposed to. Also, children are very curious and very inquisitive in all of that. So they'll always look out for stuff, look out for information, and look out for things that entertain them. But because they do that, sometimes they fall on the wrong side.
Mm.
But it's important that even they correctly look for entertainment, they get the right kind of entertainment, I'd say, cleaner entertainment that combines with the same values that we want to instill in them.
Sure. You know, some of the greatest difficulties around this particular time, in the life of a child is really, Unathi, the fact that even as Christian parents and families, we can't remove our children from society. In fact, removing them almost feels like you are clamping their wings that they need to develop in order to fly. So what advice would you give to parents specifically around some of those boundaries that must be created and that perfect balance between instilling those values at home and preparing your child for a world that may not look like what the safety net of the home looks like?
I think we must be aggressive.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that.
That was aggressive.
Contradiction. I think the challenge with Christians is that they tend to withdraw. And I don't think that's the attitude. I wish we could talk more about Jesus or Yeshua as a social reformer.
Hmm.
Not necessarily as a religious person, but as a social reformer who was very, most people would have considered him very aggressive in his way. Not aggressive to the people, but aggressive in the principles and the ethics that he was starting to instill.
Right.
So you can imagine when the Sermon of the Mount happens, it's a social, I know it's written in scriptures, but to the people that were there, they didn't understand it as something that is going to be written in a book.
Hmm.
To the people that were listening to him, they were understanding how he's trying to get them to leave. He wasn't trying to arrange them into a group called Christians. He was trying to tell them how to live better. So you can imagine when he says, it is written that an eye for an eye, but I tell you that you must love your enemies. For most of them, that was shocking.
Sure.
I'm saying that to say, we then need to be aggressive and understand that, as you correctly point out, we can't live in an island, because I think that's the mistake Christians do. They allow things to be determined by the government, don't participate, they go to church, but they don't want to participate in how they are governed. And then they expect they will be able to live in this island, which doesn't exist. Because in any way, you end up sending your children to the same schools, not to non-Christian schools, for example. So you send them to the same schools that everybody sends their children to. So we might as well go back into how we live and be aggressive there, and not allow the government to set rules and laws that are against these values. I mean, some of the laws in this country are quite shocking. So my suggestion is, instead of retreating, let's go forward and be aggressive in how we are managed. Let's participate in the SDP at school.
Mm.
Let's participate in the ward committee. Let's participate in deciding who the independent candidate is for the municipality, for the province, for national, and affect how the country is governed, and stop talking in churches and buildings. Because those buildings, apart from prayer, those buildings have no influence in how we are governed. So I think that's the way I would respond, is as people who believe in God, and I wouldn't even use the term Christian, but as people who believe in God, let's be aggressive. Let's get involved, and let's deal with the rules at the SGP.
Mm.
Let's deal with the rules at the municipality. And the bylaws that the municipality sets, let's get involved in those things, because we can't be aloof and apathetic but expect to see change. It doesn't work that way. So my response would be, let's be aggressive. Let's get involved. Let's get involved in the street committee. Let's get involved with the neighbor, because you find that sometimes it's just that we spend time in our own homes. But the truth is, you find that a lot of times as neighbors, we agree on a lot of values. We agree on a lot of things, but we don't communicate amongst ourselves. So let's communicate as neighbors, and let's approach the municipality as a street committee, or as a ward committee, or as neighbors. And let's get involved. That's the best way to. And let's get involved in the SAPC. I don't like some of the stuff that I see in the SAPC.
Mm.
I don't like the content that I see in the SAPC, for example. Then let's be aggressive against the SAPC. Let's complain to them that we don't like this entertainment. Too much airtime is given to entertain children. That airtime it is given to teach them values. So we don't like that. Let's complain and be aggressive towards the SAPC. I'm just giving example.
No,
when I say aggressive, I don't mean we must go and bed and say, sit down.
No, absolutely not.
Please. Then we must, all I'm trying to say is, we can't stand by and allow things and then all we do is to complain.
So let's
be aggressive with the SAPC, for example. Let's write letters to them. Let's protest to them. Let's not accept policies in the SABC, which is a public broadcaster, who has a responsibility to broadcast in the best interest of the public, to broadcast things that are destroying us as a society in South Africa. So I'm just giving examples.
Sure.
So my view is, let's be aggressive. Thank you.
Sure. That is absolutely point well taken, Unathi Mdoninji, our guest. 22 minutes after one this afternoon, my family. Thank you to each and every one of you coming through this afternoon on 082-657-2729. I would like to hear from you, my family, around the socialization of our children. Now, coming back to you, Unathi, how do you suppose... first of all, is there a link between how we socialize our children and the decisions that they make as they grow up as Christians and managing their own lives?
Obviously, yeah, without a shadow of doubt, there is. Even science demonstrates that they form at a certain age, and how they form in that period or in that range in their years will have a profound influence on who they become later. Even the very idea of early childhood development is premised on the very same linkage between how they develop as a child and the kind of adult they will become. So there is an obvious and an inevitable and inextricable link between that and who they become later. So in fact, if we want to invest on who they become later, we must invest who they are when they're young.
Tell me, Unathi, before we conclude our conversation, what are some of, I'm cautious in calling it rules because the rules part, what are some of the guidelines that must guide a decision of who to take or pick or marry as a lifetime partner? And even better, how do we connect that to, if we had to work backwards, how do we connect that to how we ought to be socialized as children?
You know, I could give a long answer, but I don't think we have the time.
Yeah.
But let me say something which I think is important. Human beings do not have an independent, original image of their own. They don't.
Yeah, that's powerful. Sure.
They don't. So a human being will always resemble and follow something or someone. So even if you look at you, Ayanda, in your home, you look like someone there.
Right. No, 100%.
So you don't have even flesh. The flesh doesn't have an independent, original. Even the DNA, your DNA is, you don't have an original DNA. It's a combination of already existing DNAs.
Sure.
So I'm saying that to say, it's important. The very basic value that you must look for is, who does this person resemble in values? So in a typical sense, then, the idea is, does this person represent the values of God or not? Is the because a human being will always follow something. So the question is whether this person is following God or following someone else or something else.
Sure.
So that's a very basic value, in my view, because if we, and also important how, because the challenge we have sometimes is all of us say with our mouths that we follow God, but our actions don't say that. So it's important not to listen to what people say. It's rather to observe what people do. In other words, the nature of a person's character will always show more and reliably in what they do than it will show in what they say.
Wow.
So it's the values. So in a nutshell, then it's values. You know, one of the most fascinating things about the scriptures is, and it's something that we need to firm up on, in my view. When God speaks to the woman and Adam and the serpent, is he prescribing what is going to happen to them, or is it describing what is going to happen to them?
Please help us before you.
Because in my view, is he's describing what is going to happen. In other words, he's not prescribing that this is what's going to happen to you. In other words, even if he didn't tell them, what happened to them was still going to happen, because I believe that God's values are intertwined with how the universe functions.
Wow.
So in other words, the what happens in Mount Sinai is a revelation of something that already existed.
Aye, come on.
It was not prescribed in Mount Sinai. It already existed in Mount Sinai. I'm saying that therefore to say, if you depart then from these values, or you work or you make decisions against these values, God does not have to do anything. Things will just happen. Hence, it's important for each one of us to embrace him and embrace these values, because it's clear in his description that things work for us when we align with him, and then things work against us when we don't align with him. So that's why it's important to understand that it's not a prescription, it's a description.
Now I'm literally out of questions. Like, you know, Unathi, that is massively powerful. Sure, yeah.
So the point I'm making in then do yourself a favor by aligning with these values, God's values, because that's how he has created the universe.
And
in fact, one last point from me before I think we're run out of time. If you notice in the Genesis narrative, everything, after everything has been created, there's a statement that said, and God saw that it was good. But after the creation of man, the same thing is not said. It's not said. In other words, God creates man with a choice, because out of man, he expects to get glory. But the glory comes in the choices that the man makes. So you are only good if you make the right choices. So the goodness of a man here meaning human being, is a function of the choices that they make. Hence, I always say, the choices you make will always have a far more profound influence on your life than your ability.
Unathi,
God is more concerned with our choices than our ability. If he can create the universe like he has done, I wish I could tell you where I am. If we can create the universe as he has done, the issue is not ability. The issue is choice.
No, we are aware.
So I'm saying choosing values.
Sure. Man, this is... I feel like it's almost more... amazing stuff. And so in a nutshell then, to answer that question around the connectivity between socialization and the choices that we make, is really that as parents, our duty is to equip our children to be established in their value system, so that when it is time for them to independently make those choices pertaining especially to marriage, that choice is not a behind the desk, go to school academic exercise. It is a natural overflow of a life that they have been socialized to. Yes?
Fully agree.
Unathi, this has been absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And I know we have a bit of a delay. Yes, we know that you're looking at the beautiful mountains of, is it Brazil? Yes, Brazil, yes. You're looking at the beautiful scenery and all of that. And thank you so much for giving us your time. And we truly appreciate it. Where do we follow you, Unathi? And where do we connect with you with some of the work that you're doing, especially as you go around the country and just establishing the marriage, the message of God? Godly marriage, social media.
At
perhaps.
The moment, I think the best connection is through a cell phone.
And maybe
I think that's the best connection I have at the moment.
Right. Let me maybe help Unathi and say that perhaps let's get your social media handles. So that we are not responsible for your cell phone number going off on air, your social media handles.
No, it's fine. The number, I just need to.
And while we do that, my family, 32 minutes after one, that is your time. Following this particular conversation, we are, let me tell you, ascending, Going up for yonder. We're going up for yonder. 0826572729. And now the phones are starting to buzz right at the end of this conversation. Yeah, Unati, before we let you go, those handles, sir.
Yeah, no. Again, people can send a WhatsApp message to this number, 076-632-54-64. I repeat, 076-632-54-64.
Fantastic. That's absolutely amazing. Yeah. And we look forward to chatting to you again. All the best with the work that you're doing on that side of the world. And we hope to check in with you on your return.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thanks for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity. And thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Mr. Unati Mdoninji, my family, there you have it. We do not have an original image of our own. We are made in the image of God. And it really is in our best interest that we pursue Christ and the formation of Christ in our lives and grow in the likeness of Christ so that everything we do is a representation of who Christ is, including raising our children, including equipping them for a life of godly decision making and godly fruit in their lives. Shalom J says that, hey, I end up blessings and in family. In the garden, we had the image of Elohim, but with the fall, we lost it. Now we have it again. Now to have it again, we need the indwelling of the Ruah HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit. When we have that, we grow in the fruit of the Ruah HaKodesh. I could not have summarized it any better. Mr. Solomon Izang Ashoms is our next guest on the other side of this great sound. My family, 34 after one is your time. This is Hot to Hot on a Thursday afternoon, standing in from Paul Putini.
Kusukela enhlizweni yethu ukuya kweyakho. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up. A time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/radiopulpit.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.